Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snack Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Welcome back to the Starting Five podcast on SB Nation Grizzly Bear Blues. I am the one, P Shark.
What's going on, everybody? I've been out for the past couple of weeks, but I'm still at underscore Sky Lead on Twitter.
What is good, everybody? This is your guy, Yon Trev, aka the Chief of Staff of Dylan Brooks Island. And just want to take the time to welcome Big Steve and them to Dylan Brooks Island. We'll get to Big Steve and them in just a second.
Of course, holding it down low, man. It's the man, Tev Shakir. Shout out to JV. I love you already. I miss you already. And it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to bring the pod with good energy, but just thinking of JV being gone, it hurt.
Well, speaking of Big Steve and them and JV, that is the first topic for today's episode. So, since we last been on, a lot has happened.
A lot.
But this past week, before the draft, about 2 or 3 days before the draft, Grizzlies make a big trade with the New Orleans Pelicans of all teams. They're rivals, of course. But we traded. And first, the report came out a couple of days before, that was looking at Eric Bledsoe coming to Memphis for the 17th. Well, we was going to get the 10th pick and Eric Bledsoe for the 17th pick. Turns out to be, we still do get Eric Bledsoe along with Big Steve. As Trevor like to say, picks number 10 and 40. So we moved up in both rounds, moved up from 51 to 40 and moved up from 17 to 10. And that trade included JV along with everything. And also got another first round pick for next year, the Lakers first round pick from New Orleans, top 10 protected. So before we even get to the actual names that were attached to the draft pick on Thursday night, how did y'all feel about the trade?
You know, when the news broke that this trade was happening, I was not a fan of it. Due to the fact that, you know, the Grizzlies, in a sense, lost their second best player. The Grizzlies lost their, if you want to call it ace and ace, like they lost probably their one of the most consistent players. And so to lose that, you know, I would think that maybe over time, maybe after the draft pick that we, you know, that we had on Thursday, that I would probably feel, you know, at ease about it. And I don't. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm still, you know, still struggling with, you know, accepting the fact that, you know, we traded, you know, JV. Not only did we trade JV, but you traded JV. You took on a bad contract, and it was to a division rival. Sorry, like I just can't get over the fact. I mean, you know, if I had to give this trade a grade, it's a C. It's like a C minus. I'm gonna be real with you, just because, like, I mean, JV was such a huge part of the team. He was such a huge part of, you know, the pick and roll offense that, you know, once the playoffs start, like once the, you know, the end of the regular season and once the playoffs got here, like, that pick and roll with him and John Morant was damn near money. And so I know with, you know, with you trading JV, then you get Big Steve. And so, you know, Steven Adams is a much better defender than JV is, but he's not that guy. He's not, you know, that guy that, you know, that can give you the rebounds that you need to get, you know, those quick little, you know, 6 to 8, 10 putback points that you know, that you would normally get. So to be completely honest with you guys, I'm worried. I'm worried because, you know, that was a low post presence that we had. You know, I haven't talked about, you know, how I feel about, you know, Triple J yet. And it seems as if they're pushing all the cards to the middle table to say, you know, we believe in Triple J. We believe in his ability to, you know, give us what we need in the low post. And I don't agree with it. I've seen enough that would make me disagree with the move that they just did. So I don't like the trade. I don't see myself changing my mind unless, you know, the person that they selected this past Thursday, again, we'll get to that in a second. We'll, you know, if that person turns out well, if that pick that we got from the Lakers, if that turns out well, then maybe I'll change my mind. But until then, I don't like the trade at all.
Well, allow me to be the objective one here.
Good, because I ain't going to be.
Everything Skylar just said was 100% correct. JV was arguably your second best player. Again, I would have loved to have kept him, but it's just it shows that Kleiman felt that Valanciunas wasn't part of the long-term plans. I didn't look at this from a standpoint of flipping JV. I looked at it from the standpoint of moving up in the draft. We'll get to it in a minute because the stories had come out for the reason behind the trade. A lot of people have not watched Steven Adams play since the Durant-Russ days. I have pretty much post KD Russ, so I kind of know how that whole thing is going to work. Ja and Steve will be fine. It'll be similar to Russ and Steve. It's not going to be on the same magnitude as Ja and JV because Steve is not that big of a post presence as we all know first and forehand. And also, I'm pretty sure all of us watch the playoffs. All of us here watch the playoffs. Like, JV was put on an island the entire series. It seemed as though for a good 5 or 6 possessions in a row, JV was caught, you know, on an island during the pick and roll that was ran by Utah. And Steven Adams kind of addresses that for a minute. But I would take the trade-off offense for defense because now it puts pressure on Jaren Jackson Jr., who's in the contract year. So now everything that we thought or that we've been saying about Jaren Jackson Jr. for these first couple of seasons, now it needs to come to fruition. Especially now, like I mentioned before, he's in a contract year. So if it pans beautifully, if it works beautifully, fine. If it doesn't work, then unfortunately we run the risk of losing 3J. Eric Bledsoe, of course, I thought he may have been on the roster, but I figured that he wasn't going to be on there much longer. And we'll get to the draft pick when we get to the draft pick. But if I was to give it a grade, I'm actually going to go up a grade. I'm actually going to go B minus, just because, one, they got into the draft. They got into the lottery. And we'll talk about that soon. They addressed their need for a quote-unquote enforcer on defense. Granted, you're losing your second best player, but if you get better defensively, I'll take that trade off, especially if you're, as Skylar said, pushing all your chips to the table on Jaren Jackson Jr. there. So I'm objective about it. I'm feeling pretty good about this move.
Well, of course, I'm the one that's, you know, if you president or whatever you are on DV Island, then I'm all of the above on JV Island. So once I saw this trade, I'm hurt, you know, I'm still hurt. I'm with Lito when you hit the hammer right on the head, bro, when you said you're putting all your chips on Triple J. Of course, I'm on the Triple J bandwagon, but I feel like what we've been saying about JV literally all year and what we've been saying for 3 years, consistency is key. You do not trade a consistent, 16 and 12 on a daily basis. Like, he was literally, like you said, Trev, on an island during the playoffs. He was the reason we were able to get easy buckets when everybody else wasn't a scorer. and now we trade him to honestly a rival of ours. Like he's on a rival team, and I think that's what hurt kind of the most, because it's like the front office, they helped a rival. The Pelicans got better off of this trade. So why would you do something like that? You trade him for Eric Bledsoe, who won't be put on a Grizz uniform. So now what are you gonna get for him? I'm trusting the front office because they hadn't given me a reason to, you know, of course, not trust them. But this trade, it got my antennas going because, like I said, you don't trade consistency like that. You don't trade somebody that, of course, has his defensive liabilities, but most people do. And when you're in the second, third quarter, JV's running that offense, like, you don't trade that away for Steve, Big Steve, whoever y'all want to call him, who is a great defensive center. But that's offense that literally gone down the drain for our second best player on the team. So, like I said, you do put all your eggs on a basket with Triple J. This is a no excuse year for him. I think this trade actually puts the pressure on him to succeed. I think, and I'm hoping that he will succeed. So there is no excuse now, especially if you want the bag, this is the time to show it. And now you'll have the players around and the coaching staff that believes in you with this trade, because JV's only 29. Happy birthday to me. He's only 29, just like me, and I'm still relatively young. But no, man, of course I'm hurt. I'm going to hate to see JV in a New Orleans Pelicans uniform. Hell, I hope the Pelicans trade him soon. But thank you, JV, for everything you've done. You're the man, bro, but I'm still hurt.
So my thoughts on the trade are initially, it did hit a little bit, but I did tweet out later, trading role players don't hurt me as bad. And yes, JV was our second best player last year. I see what the front office is doing. They're thinking ahead. We all watched that playoff series. We all watched what Utah did to him on offense and why he was on defense. So I do disagree with it helping New Orleans. New Orleans had offense. JV doesn't help them on defense. New Orleans need defense. I don't see how he helps them.
Good point.
Him and Zion together, that's going to be barbecue chicken on defense for everybody. But and JV, like I said, I love JV. He's a good player. But I just think I see what the front office is doing. So that's why I don't mind it. I think the front office, if we all ran this team back, I didn't believe they were going to get out the first round. Now, they might take a step back and not make the playoffs now. But I think in the future, they will be, I am not going to necessarily say they'll definitely be better off, but I see what they're thinking. Unfortunately, they are putting all their chips in on Triple J. This is exactly what this move screened. And any given person out of all of us, we're unsure about them in totality. So it all depends. This is one of the trades we can't grade until 2 years down the line, really. That's the truth. We really want you to be able to grade until later on. And we're about to get the draft pick in a second, because it was straight up a future move. And unfortunately, it takes away a player that we all like, that we all really enjoy watching play. But I understand the move. And I think just this year seeing it, just like, it hurts, but I understand it.
I'm sorry. Like, I get everything that everybody's saying. I understand. The only thing that I understand about this move is you want to get better defensively. Like, that part I understand. So, you know, if you told me just that, and, you know, if it was a clear swap for JV and Steven Adams, then that I would understand. But it's trading him. It's also taking on a bad contract, which then, if I'm not mistaken, that puts you out of free agency for next year. And then on top of that, then you're putting all your chips like on Triple J, which, again, in my personal opinion, he hasn't shown you that he can be that consistent player. So then that's another bad thing. That's three bad things. And then we'll get to the pick, which then, again, makes none of this make even more sense. Literally nothing about this trade I like. I'm sorry. Nothing about it I like.
Hey.
I'm trying to be optimistic about it, yeah, but nothing about it I like. Nothing.
Yeah, aside of the swap, yeah, that's it. But I mean, as far as the contract stuff and things looking in that situation, yeah, it looks bad. That's why I gave it the grade that I gave it. But the draft pick, which again we'll get to, because it was a head scratcher for yours truly. But yeah, I understand the move, because you got to remember in the latter part of the Utah series, like JV wasn't even on the floor. Like there were times they pretty much went go for broke and moved 3J to the five just to see what would happen. And all of the stuff that we're asked, that we were already asking for 3J to be the second best player to score and rebound. Now the rebounding part kind of is kind of taken away, but with that being taken away from 3J, now you're asking 3J to pick up the scoring load that you was getting consistently from JV. And that's where the question mark lies. That's where a lot of people are a little concerned. Like, I can't remember what was what was 3J's average last season, but you're essentially asking him at this point to be either close to 20 or north of 20 a night.
Which not only the 20, but it's the, you know, the 8 to 10 rebounds that you kind of need to get to. Triple J can't get you that.
I will settle for 6 to 8. I'll settle for 6 to 8. If I'm getting similar, if I'm getting 8 to 10 from Steve, I'll settle for 6 to 8.
I'll settle for that too.
So yeah. Basically, they're banking on Triple J returning to what he was in the bubble before he got hurt, hoping he gets a healthy offseason.
I know we don't like the word shout out to Savage, but the potential is still there, guys. I mean, the potential, I know we don't like the word. I know. But what the Grizz staff has done, we got to understand, right? The Grizz, this is the first time I've seen our front office, a competent front office with coaches that will help you develop. What I mean by that is that we saw Xavier Tillman, a question mark, who you know what I'm saying, who we drafted last year, coming to his own. And we see the consistency, what he can do. We saw Desmond Bane, a rookie, who had the highest and not set top three in 3-point percentage shooters. We have the coaching staff to help develop the players, which is why I am on Triple J Allen. I do approve of our rookie selection that we had this our draft selections that we had this year. So I mean, like I told you, until people call him King Kleiman, until King Kleiman show me a reason to take his throne away, he got it. You know what I'm saying? But with him trading JV, my pitchfork getting ready. I'm hot.
Okay. My pitchfork already ready. Sharky, let's get to the draft.
Let's go. Let's get to these draft picks about Zachary Kleiman. That's what I'm calling him.
Zachary.
He got to prove the king part after this whole ordeal right here. The name of this show is, the name of this specific episode is Moody Fan Base. Because when that 10th pick came, let me tell y'all how this okay. First off, we drafted Zaire Williams. Let's start with there. Okay. When they got the pick number 6, kept hearing these rumors about Josh Giddey. Me, I'm like you said, the word potential. I don't like the word potential. So I'm like, nah. As soon as OKC took him, boy, I was celebrating. I said, yes. That means we ain't got to take him. Cool. And next 3 picks go by. I'm thinking James Bouknight is going to get taken. He didn't get taken. So you literally had your choice of James Bouknight or Moses Moody, who I really, really want. Who a lot of people really, really want. And they come out and say Zaire Williams. Later on, the pick number 40, they trade up to the, at the end of the first round at number 30 and take Santi Aldama. I hope I pronounced his name right. What are y'all thoughts?
I think there are times in life where you think things can happen. You may predict what may happen, what may come to fruition, and then it doesn't happen, and then you're just like in a funky mood, and I'm not even sure what gets you out of that mood, and that's exactly where I'm at with it. To your point, Sharky, you know, people were taken ahead of the 10th pick that you just knew that, you know, if you were, I think all of us did our, you know, our pre-draft, you know, homework, and we was like, okay, cool. They, you know, if James Bouknight is there or Moses Moody is there, then then especially after, if you were one of those people that's like, like if you're on defense about the trade, then if you if they get Booknight, if they get Moody, then you say, okay, it makes a little sense, right? To trade, you know, to make the trade with the rival to move up seven spots, it will make sense that, you know, if you drafted one of those players. And again, I hear everything that you're saying, Took, but damn, are these reaches. These are absolute reaches. Now, again, I mean, you know, there are people out there that say, you know, Zaire Williams, you know, he was a top five, top 10 guy coming out of high school. I get it. I get all of that. But that's high school, ladies and gentlemen. Things happen. And, you know, if that was your guy, if Zaire Williamson was your guy, you could have just stayed put. I'm pretty sure Zaire Williamson would have been available at 17. That's just personal opinion. So if, you know, that was their guy from the get-go, if they knew all along that's who they wanted to get, then stay at 17. I just don't see why you gave up as much as you did to go get that guy. Which, again, you know, if you heard my letter grade as far as this trade is concerned, you may have said, dang, that's a little low. Everything that's on the table right now is exactly why I said a C minus 2D, because none of it makes sense. None of it makes sense. That is a reach at 10. James Booknight is sitting there waiting to be picked. The man was probably damn near halfway walking to the stage. He or Moses Moody was damn near walking to the stage, I'm sure, I'm pretty sure at that time it would have been a Pelicans hat because the trade wasn't official. But they were ready, and you went with Zaire Williamson, which, you know, I did my homework after him. Pretty decent guy. I don't want to knock the guy. I mean, he hadn't put on a Grizzly uniform yet, so I can't judge him. That's just not who I would have picked. That's just not who I would have picked. That pick at 10, and then the pick with the guy that you just mentioned, Sharkey, which, if I'm not mistaken, was, you know, if you look at most mock drafts, probably wasn't going to be drafted. He was probably top 60, top 70, and you chose him at what, 30? That's a reach. And you know what's the saying, go, if you reach, I teach. I'm sorry, y'all, none of this makes sense to me. None of it makes sense to me.
Well, they say if you reach for the moon and fail, you land amongst the stars. So I guess that's what the Grizzlies are shooting for with these two picks. James Booknight pans out in Charlotte, Memphis is going to regret this because he was taken with the very next pick at 11. And then, of course, Moses Moody rounded out the lottery with the Warriors taking him at 14.
Hurt.
Yeah. I tweeted before the Grizzlies pick, I was going to get ready to acknowledge Clint Kaminsky because the deal was basically to kind of force someone to take Josh Giddey before Memphis did, which we got with Oklahoma City. And I'm like, okay, all right, Booknight and Moody should be available at 10. And we literally had both of them like sitting there. I'm like, this is choose your destiny point for the Grizzlies. Both of them sitting there, and you take Zaire Williams from Stanford. Again, I did my homework as well, pretty decent, but not the type of guy that I'm looking for. I'm guessing this is Kleiman's way of saying this is a project. If that's the which I'm perfectly fine with, but if that's the case, you should have stayed at 17. Like I'm fully confident he would have been there at 17. Like if someone else would have taken him,
then let them reach.
Let them reach. Like I don't believe Klein when he said that he wouldn't have been there at 17. No, he would have been there at 17, in my opinion. Like if you were gonna reach high to get in the top 10, James Booknight and Moses Moody were like sitting right there, just sitting right there, and then it just literally had me head scratching. So I'm like, okay, Climber, here we go. Here we go with the pitchforks, and I'm ready. So, and then with the other guy that we reached for, I can't pronounce his name. He played at, I can't remember the college. I think it was, anyway, doesn't matter. So one, he didn't work out for any NBA teams. That was one. Two, he didn't take any Zoom meetings with any teams, and he told NBA teams not to draft him because he felt that he was going to go back to play in Spain, which, of course, scared a lot of teams off. So I don't know. Did he have a private workout with the Grizzlies or something for the Grizzlies to reach this high as 30 as the last pick of the first round to take this guy? So I don't know, man. We'll see how it plans out. Once they're wearing the Grizzlies uniform, Zaire Williams will be wearing the Grizzlies uniform, but if this other guy is even wearing the Grizzlies uniform past July. So I don't know, man. It was a head scratcher to me.
So what the word that we damn near should have named this episode, Shark, was project. That's exactly what I see in Zaire Williamson and Santi Aldama. What I mean by Zaire is that he's a 6'8" forward who can score the ball, right? 19 years old, came out as a freshman, of course. But like you said, Sharky, 2 years down the road, we'll know whether this trade made sense or not, right? Because we did trade up to get him. Apparently, this was our guy from the get-go, you know what I'm saying, outside, I guess, Josh Giddey. But when I'm thinking, I guess, as far 2 years down the line, of course, I don't see, with them trading JV, I honestly don't see Somo with us that much longer. And I think that because Brandon Clark is such a project as well, I think that Brandon Clark could be expandable as well, especially with them kind of being like the same height. Of course, Brandon Clark, tenacity on defense is a lot better. But then the word project applies to Zaire. You know what I'm saying? 6'8", long body, has, you know, the potential to be great. And I think the Grizz are going to see what they can do him. 2 years down the line, this may have been a genius move. But 2 years down the line, we may have just wasted a top 10 pick. So, I mean, time will tell, but I like Zaire Williams. He played with, you know, okay, Bronny James. So, of course, he got the fan base. Some would have arguably said that he was the best player on the team at that time. So, I mean, he got the fan base. Ja Morant love him already. So, I mean, I'm anxious to see how he'll do, especially with us using a top 10 pick on him. But as far as Santi Aldama go, this is us putting pressure on Triple J again. Because if you look at Adama's numbers from Loyola, 21 and 10 rebounds, that's kind of what we're looking for from Jaren, right? Not saying that he can come and do what Jaren can do, but the guy won, you know, MVP overseas. Like, the overseas players are doing – they caught up with the NBA game, right? And I think that this is one of those moves that can help us. You know, especially down the line, we got a former, you know, MVP. So to win an MVP in any kind of league, in my opinion, should say something, you know, to a younger player. So the word project is what I think of these two picks. And like I said, the Grizz hadn't failed me yet. The front office, the coaching staff hadn't failed me yet. I love what I saw from Tillman last year. I love what I saw from Desmond Bain last year. I love what I saw from Somo. Like we all said on this podcast, Somo should have been most improved, and I think he don't get there without the coaching staff that we got on the Grizzlies. So the eyes are on them, and they hadn't given me a reason to call them out negatively yet, so I'm not going to do so.
Sharky, if you don't mind, before you go, my issue with the project word is, in my opinion, you don't have time to develop.
Yeah, you do. You got all the time in the world. What was she last season?
The reason you don't have time to do that is because of John Morant. You have to make sure every single season that man is at least happy, or he knows that, okay, I see the future in which we're going. Because if at any point he doesn't feel that way, if at any point he feels, I don't think the Grizzlies can give me everything that I need to be successful, he can leave.
He can, but we've been saying the same thing about Dame Lillard for 10 years. And, you know, 10 years, this is where we are. And he's still on the same team.
But that's Dame Lillard. That's Dame Lillard.
We got Ja Morant. I don't see too much difference, to be honest with you.
All right.
We have all the time in the world, which is why we traded JV.
You do not have
the time. If you're going to trade in the top 10 and I'm coming off a season where I was the HC in the playoffs, I am looking for somebody I can slide in this roster immediately.
Exactly.
I don't have time for a 2 or 3 year project when I know I could potentially lose both 3J, who, you know, we still iffy about, and potentially lose Ja Morant.
I don't put, and this is what I mean. I'll explain in a minute. I don't put the timetable of Steph Curry and Ja Morant in the same, because the same thing what we're saying about Ja Morant, we don't have the time. I would say that about Steph Curry before I say that about Ja Morant. Like, there's so much time left in Ja Morant's career. Rather than Steph Curry is in win mode now. We don't necessarily have to win right now. We overachieved last season. Let's let's get better. But if we need project players to get better, that's what we need in order for us 2 years down the line to be there. That's what we got.
At some point, you're going to have to progress beyond what you finish. Like, yeah, we were the AC 2 years ago. We unfortunately lost to Portland in the bubble. We were the AC this past season, despite not having 3J for the entire season. At this point now, the next progression up is to either get a higher seed and or win a playoff series.
Mm-hmm.
So,
again, currently constructed, sorry to cut you off, Trevor, that's not happening this coming up year. That's not happening. And if, now granted, Ja Morant has a very long career ahead of him, I will say that. But is that a long career in Memphis?
I think with me, it's somebody that I know what it feels like to take a step back, to take two steps forward. And if this is what I'm going to see from the Grizz, I'm with it.
Okay.
I'm with it. Because they did draft players based on potential, but if you look at how they can fit with this team, it fit. it honestly fits. If Zaire can come off the bench averaging 12 a game, that's cool. If Adama can come and get some rebounds for us in the place of Jaren, so we don't have to overpay Jaren, that's a win to me.
But is that enough to get you out of the first round?
Not right now, no, but it's okay.
And that's another year lost.
That's another year lost.
Right. Sorry, Sharky.
So I fall somewhere between y'all. I don't think we have as much time as it sounds like Tuke is saying, but I don't think we have as little time as you and Trevor are saying. I think it's somewhere in between. They can afford to take – this year was the year they can afford to take a swing. But we might as well change our saying from consistency is key to patience is key at this point, because that's basically what they're telling us, be patient. I spent a lot of time in St. Louis growing up with my aunts and stuff. And, you know, Missouri, the state of Missouri is called a show me state.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
That's my motto right now. There's nothing I can grade right now. I'm not about to talk bad about Zion. Young. I can't talk good about him either, because I don't know. I seen film, he shot 29%, but his actual form looks good. I know Stanford, his freshman season was rough because COVID, everybody went to COVID, but I think all of their games are on the road. He had two family members died. So I get all that. We all watched that draft together when we drafted Triple J. None of us liked their pick. No matter how we feel about Triple J now, it turned out to be better than what we thought at night. we didn't like to pick it out. So because of that specific pick of Triple J, I'm not going to react like I did then. I'm going to give this one a chance. But show me. That's how I can't. I'm not too optimistic, but I'm not too down either. I'm just in between, in the middle. I just got to see it. I can say this. Because we do have Ja Morant, we will be in playoff contention next year. Will we actually make the playoffs? But because of Ja Morant, he's proven his first 2 years that the Grizzlies are going to be in playoff contention. And I do believe it.
Yeah, I don't see a reason why Memphis would not be in playoff contention more so or in the playoffs next season. Unless they just take a extremely huge step back. But again, that depends on how the rest of the West is going to shape up.
There you go. That's the big thing. Because the West, again, you know, health being, you know, albeit health, like the Warriors are still coming back. You got to look at that. Like, you know, depending on what Portland does, that's still a factor you have to look at. And then again, you want to bring up Dame Lillard, but what exactly did Dame Lillard say a month or two ago as to why he was, you know, he put the trade out there, then he pulled it back? It was, again, he said he got tired of losing in the first round. He got tired of not being in true contention, not at least being able to at least touch the Western Conference Finals. It's cool making the playoffs. I promise it's good. You get a little extra money here and there, but you get tired of barely making. You get tired of being the 7th, 8th seed and knocked out every single year. Gotta keep that in mind.
You love your microwave society, man. You want your success right now.
No, I
it's
don't
not right now.
Okay, it's cool.
No. I'm not saying you need it right now, but I'm saying, what if I'm John Morant? What moves have been made to make me say, okay, cool, bet I can see this working. Like, I can see us move. I can see us getting out of the first round next year. I can see.
Why does it necessarily have to be moves though? Like, why can't it be players getting better, just like we saw? Year one to last year, literally every single player got better.
Yeah. Also, to kind of refute your point, Skyler, Ja Morant liked the pick. Ja Morant don't tweet and do that if he didn't like the pick. So obviously he feels good about Zaire.
Well, he can. I think he has to like the pick right now.
He has to like the pick.
You ain't got to say a word.
He could have not tweeted and they said nothing. Ja Morant tweet. Now, you know Ja Morant will tweet what's on his mind, whether it's positive or negative.
That's true.
So he was not tweeting at all if he ain't like the pick.
Yeah, I'm sorry. With you being in the West, I'm sorry. You got to make bigger moves than that. And you don't even have you're not even in play for free agency. That's not even play right now.
That's not in play either.
So. Man, we're not getting a free agent. We're not getting no big time free agent anyway.
Yeah. Well, and of course not, because you're taking on Eric Bledsoe's contract.
I mean, we went no big time free agents coming to Memphis. Now I can understand like little role players, sure. And you know what? Shout out, we don't have Justice Winslow no more, so we won't have him anymore. So
I was like, that's a positive. That pretty much, the trade pretty much guarantees that we will not be picking up Justice Winslow's option. So
I hope y'all are
right. To Tuke's point, I'm looking at how Memphis are doing things is similar to how the Thunder did things during the Durant Westbrook era. Like, they made the playoffs as an eighth seed. They managed to get two from the Lakers. And then the very next season, with moves made or whatever, they actually got to the fourth seed, I believe, and won a playoff series. That's the next step for the Grizzlies right here. You got at some point within the next 2 to 3 years, you need to be top.
Just give it time.
You need to be okay. 3 years from now, when Ja Morant is in free agency, and we still
and we still drafting people based off potential or projects,
then that's a different time. That's a different conversation. But when we have a team full of young players, Trev, you've seen OKC turn. Like you just said, you've seen a young team draft and consistently get better. We've seen it. We've seen it. That's what the Spurs did. We've seen it time and time again. So patience. Ja Morant just turned, 21, 22? Like, we got time.
Go ahead, Shark.
So what I can say is don't take the opposite approach. We got a lot of three first-round picks next year. We got a lot of all these young players, we got stuff to make a move.
Somebody
got
a hit.
Don't pull it like Boston. Yeah. Don't pull it to Boston. And be pump faking on a potential big deal for
something. We're not pump faking.
No, I'm saying we're not now. I'm saying 1-2 years down the line, you're going to have to.
Yeah, Danny Ainge just punked out. he I don't know what we going to call it. He deserves his own turn with that one because he had the world in his hand.
Yeah, but like Skyler said, somebody got a hit. Mm-hmm. With these picks, somebody got to hit. I'm just not of a fan of trading in the top 10 on a project. Like, if you was gonna if you was gonna use a pick on a project, you should have stayed at 17.
Exactly. Kawhi Leonard was a project, and look at him.
It's Kawhi Leonard though. Like, he turned out to be Kawhi Leonard. Like, again,
nobody heard of Kawhi Leonard.
We're not saying none of these people are going to hit. I'm not saying nobody's going to hit. I'm just worried that none of them are going to hit. Like, that's my worry, is none of them are hit. And you're in the Western Conference.
Bro,
let me finish. Let me finish.
Not be negative today.
But can you're in positive? The Western Conference,
the sun is shining. I'm in Memphis, bro. Can we just be positive?
Okay. All right. First and foremost, I'm going to need you to brush up on your NCAA game, because if you watched – the NCAA during Jimmer, you know who Kawhi Leonard is. So that's number one. Number two, another person who was a quote-unquote project was Giannis. But guess what? He was taken outside of the lottery. So, and it eventually panned out. My thing is, I don't mind you drafting projects. Just don't trade in the top 10 for it. Especially with the where you are now as a team. Like, if you was going to do that much, Boak Wright and Moody was your typical guys. Somebody that can come in immediately and make an instant impact for the Grizzlies. It's just that something. If you was going to use a project, just stayed at 17. Like like I said, 100%, I believe Williams would have been there at 17. I don't care what Kleiman says. So
I'm just ready to show me Zaire. You know, Triple J hit them 8 threes in their first summer league game to shut me up. Zaire, I ain't saying you got exactly do that.
Who's to say that he's even going to play? Let's just be honest, because Ja didn't even suit up for the summer league, and look what happened. So
he was hurt.
That's another thing. Oh, yeah, he was hurt. That's
right. He came out to knee injury. Right. Yeah, he was hurt.
You're right. All right.
All right. You know, typical name of this episode was Moody Fan Base, and that's exactly how we end the show. In a very moody mood. Sorry, Tuke. Happy birthday to Tayoff, man. Sorry. We had to be moody.
Happy birthday, man. Happy birthday.
I mean, y'all always moody, man, but I'm used to it. Appreciate it. Shout out to Moses Moody. Oh, what's his name? Modi Moosey.
Oh my goodness, that was hilarious. Like, that was hilarious. Kendrick Perkins, Lord.
All right, man. So, remember, man, follow us on Twitter at Starting5MEM. Follow Grizzly Bear Blues at SBN Grizzlies. And listen to the other podcasts on the network who gave great previews up to the draft and 3ND Podcast, Core 4 Podcast, GBB Live, and The Long View. Remember to follow me on Twitter at @DeWine_PSHark.
I'm still at @_ScottLeo on Twitter. I'm off PTO, y'all, so I'm officially back.
And I'm at @TheArtOfTrevor on Twitter. First letter of each word is capitalized except of, because it's the preposition. And we didn't shout him out today, so shout out to Sheedy, who was unable to be on today. Follow him. It's really Sheedy.
Yep, follow me at Tev Shakir, man. That's how we doing it today. All right. Big things popping, little things stopping.
Ball on you, suckers. All right, man. Till this time, man. Go Grizz.
Go Grizz.